For many years, the relationship between the Honolulu City Council and Mayor Caldwell was often described as contentious. Now, with the mayor's second term underway and the council's reorganization, which includes a new chair and a new budget chair, is the combative period over? Is the relationship among those who will create Honolulu's future giving way to a more aligned action on rail, on housing development, and how the city spends its money? With his take on the next era, new budget chair Joey Manahan joins us now. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Beth, and Happy New Year, everybody.
The relationship with the mayor was often the attention-getting aspect, not necessarily what they were talking about, but the fact that there was so much contentious behavior with the council. With that now seemingly, you know, over, how do you view the relationship with the mayor without being seen as some have said, you know, a rubber stamp of what the mayor would like to see happen?
Right. Thank you very much for having me on this morning, and it's certainly a pleasure to be here. I think with, you know, my takeaway from the last election, Beth, was that people wanted to see not just the city council, but in government in general, they want to see less dysfunction. They want to see less politics, and they want to see us actually working towards solutions. And so that's really what the change on the city council, with the change on the city council that we really hope to bring. There's kind of a general consensus that we want to work more collaboratively with the administration, but certainly not be a rubber stamp, right? So I think we're going to see that certainly as we deliberate our next upcoming budget. There's a few increases in the cost of doing business for the city that we're going to see certainly new proposals, new revenue enhancements that we're going to have to talk about and seriously consider in different areas. For example,
so let's talk about a couple of those and just break them down a little bit. I mean, first of all, what's on everybody's mind? Obviously, rail.
Yes.
And the fact that we keep seeing the escalation of costs. Some projections now have it at, you know, $9.5 billion, and who knows? I mean, the bottom line is who knows. But where that money is going to come from, certainly not the federal government, and going back to the idea of having to do more for ourselves, and will we make the choice to do that, how do you see revenue generation coming, and is that going to be in the form of, as you say, enhancements, which other people are going to read as simply taxes?
Right. And so one of the challenges, apart from constructing the 20 miles and the 21 stations, is operating and maintaining the new mass transit system, which will be an integrated bus and rail system, right? And so that's going to cost us about upwards of about $100 million additional a year to operate and maintain, which the legislature is asking us to do. So for us to be able to come up with those funds, we are looking at revenue enhancements in the transportation area. Specifically, we're looking at increases possibly to our county gas tax. The vehicle weight tax is another source of revenue for us, as well as parking fees and possibly extending parking hours to be able to generate more money from our parking meters, for example, or parking lots. So we're looking to generate about an extra $60 million in revenue enhancements from these three areas, as well as other areas in the city to be able to fund the operations and maintenance. And you know, to be able to have these discussions, you know, we need to be a little bit less political, I think, and more, work-minded and solutions-minded and solutions-based.
When you talk about new costs that the city is going to have to bear, mm-hmm. that backs end right into what happened after the last election,
right,
where we decided that, I mean, those of us who are on Oahu, that there needed to be some new charter amendments. And one of those has to do with creating a housing department. Some people may not realize that, you know, you have a pool of money there. Some of it's got to go now to new salaries. How do you decide how to do all that equitably and also be able to fund the projects which are so badly needed to create housing, especially given the fact that we know that we have so many units that we need to create and that we're coming into perhaps, you know, that the top end of the bubble and we're most likely going to be moving at some point into a recession, and what does that mean for homelessness and all the fact that this is all tied together?
That's absolutely right. Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the charter amendments. The charter amendments were the clearest signal to me that people want to change, at least in the leadership. If you look at the 17 out of the 20 charter amendments that passed, a lot of them were trying to resolve a lot of the gridlock, a lot of the arguments we were having on the council between the administration and the mayor. For example, one of the things that people voted for was for the creation of a housing department for us to be able to implement more housing projects in here in Honolulu and on Oahu. That was a major contentious issue for us, between us and the administration. The council didn't want to see so much of a department as much as they wanted to see the funding go straight to projects, right? I think in that process, we realized that we do need a structure. I think people also realized that outside, and they voted for the creation of this department. And so rather than funding projects, now we're actually going to have to fund a department. We're going to have to create these new positions. We're going to have to fund salaries and benefits apart from affordable housing projects and asset management. And so that's also the other area where we're going to have to look for additional revenues to be able to fund actual projects, right, and not just the salaries and benefits and the administration of the overall department. But I think that's a good thing. I think there's a lot of opportunities for us to be able to work with the state with this new department and really also leverage our funds with the state to be able to create more housing projects. And what we were discussing in the last year or so was that partnership between the state and centralizing the Affordable Housing Fund with the state funds and come up with a single application so that developers could come and bid on these projects and really take the politics out of it, right? So you have a structure like the Housing Authority where developers can come, bid on projects that we put out there for affordable housing.
And how far away are we from having such a thing?
Well, we're just getting our... the people just voted for a new department to be able to... as part of that structure. So we have to create that department, and then we have to go and work with the Housing Authority intergovernmentally.
So realistically, if you have to put a timeline on this, to give people a sense that this is not happening tomorrow and it may not even be happening next year,
right,
or potentially the year after.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have to get the department up and running by June. That's in a very quick time frame, or at least know what it's going to look like by then. They're going to have to, I guess, come online, as so to speak. I'm hoping to do that without the department in about a year. But with the creation of a new department, it might take a little bit more time. Hopefully not that much more.
Given the fact that, as we alluded to a little earlier, that we may be at the top part of that bubble,
yes,
now, and moving into more recessionary times as we move into the next couple of years and beyond. At the same time, it seems like you've created that perfect confluence there, where you've got looking for more revenue and then knowing that you're seeing that we're going to be challenged in getting that revenue. What do you do to be able to justify how we do what we do? Obviously, we're coming into a time, I'm sure, where you're going to say to me that we're going to have to make tough choices.
Yes. And so I think now is the time to consider these revenue enhancement proposals at the city and the state. I know the state is also going to be considering some of those. You have to do it, I think, when the economy is still good. Having lived here in Hawaii for many years now and having gone through a few cycles myself, we're enjoying a good economy. Our forecast seems to be good, at least stable. You're right. We're right at the top, or we're right in the bubble, and we're just kind of bracing for ourselves for when it's going to burst. But we need to prepare ourselves now. Should that happen, I hope it doesn't. But really, I mean, we're still largely dependent on a good tourism, good visitor arrivals. That the visitor arrivals stay where they are. But also our construction is also driving our economy right now, right? So if anything happens to those two sectors in that industry, then we are very vulnerable. And at that point in time, would we be able to consider these enhancements? I'm not sure. But we would still need to come up with those revenues to be able to provide the core services that we do.
We've got to go for the moment, but we'll talk to you again in future. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
And Joy Manahan represents District 7 on the Honolulu City Council. That includes Kalihi, Aiea, Salt Lake, and Liliha. And this year, he'll take over as chair of the City Council's Budget Committee.